Now I'm going to do it.
Recording in progress.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Cooley?
Yes.
Commissioner Chair Ekstrom?
Yes.
Commissioner Finch?
Here.
Commissioner Kilkenny?
Here.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Thompson? Commissioner Ayala?
Here.
Commissioner Henthorn?
Here.
All right, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You have, I've had your minutes and time to review them. Are there any amendments, corrections?
Yes, correction. I forgot Brian Thompson.
I don't know how.
I caught it.
You did, good for you.
I do have one more correction of page six. Where it says Chair Ekstrom asked if there were any more proponents, or opponents. I think we should get rid of the more because that was a proponent, that's what it was.
We didn't have any opponents to it.
Is it the first item last month?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there's no opponents.
Okay.
Outside of the audacity of it.
Just strike the word more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. With that, any additional? I think I have here, she asked. On Kelly Doherty, page eight, it says that she asked why the funds would be, drained. Oh, drained. Does she ask how ponds would be drained, not why?
I'll have to go back and listen.
Is it at the bottom or what?
Yeah, the last sentence on there, I think she asked how the ponds would be drained.
That makes more sense. Not, I think that does, that's probably right.
Any additional changes or amendments? Since we have changes, I'll make a motion to accept the minutes with amendments.
Motion to accept the amended changes to the minutes.
Okay, first, I have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are accepted. Do we have any?
This is continuation.
So. My name is Stacy Ekstrom, Chair of the Morrill County Planning Commission. I'll proceed over the hearing today. Our first hearing is continued from the February 24, 2026 meeting. Land use decision LUDN 08825. Tim Seck, Well Springs LLC, a subsidiary of MN8 Energy Development Company, property owner April Miller LePage and Nolan Miller. The request to permit a standalone 230 kV substation as a utility facility necessary for public service within a 13-acre building envelope in approximately 633-acre parcel. The Miller substation is proposed on property described as tax lot 3000 of the assessor's map 2 North 23 East. Oops, it doesn't say that, I just know that. Located approximately 3 miles east of State Highway 74 on the north side of Immigrant Lane, south of Interstate 84, approximately 14 miles. Criteria for approval included in North County Zoning Article 3, Section 3.010D and F and Section 10. I'll now reopen the public hearing. Reopen the public hearing for the LUD 08826. At the end of February 24th hearing, the commission concluded public testimony and kept the record open to allow for additional evidence to be submitted per the 777 rule. The commission unanimously approved the motion to continue the hearing to March 31st. for deliberation and discussion only. There will be no additional testimony today unless the commission desires to reopen the record and allow for more testimony. At this time, we call for the staff report.
I will do the staff report. Okay, thank you, Chair. For the record, Tamara Mabbitt, Planning Director. As you noted, you have just reopened the hearing. We kept the record open. What you have in front of you is, for this application, the entire record. I'd like to ask the commission to adopt, I think it's on your page 22 of your packet. You have a list of exhibits 1 through 9. If you'd consider adopting those and adding them to the record.
Okay. Do I have a motion to add those exhibits?
Can I abstain?
This is for the Wellsprings.
This is for the
substation.
I know, but I abstained last time because it's
for Wellsprings?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I abstained last time.
That's still on record.
Okay. So, do I need to leave the table?
Please.
Okay. I was waiting for that. Sorry.
Thank you for being a good sport. Okay. You can grab a cookie if you want.
I abstained last time as well, but I'm still going to run it. And just not.
Yeah.
And I did talk to you ethics and mail because we are going to, if this goes through, we will be making money for it.
Can it please be noted?
So you are also abstaining? Okay.
I have
so,
to, yeah.
Okay.
I don't get turned in.
Okay. Thank you. So we still have a quorum.
Yeah.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're good.
I make a motion to accept the additions.
Thank you. It's been made motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Exhibits have been added.
Okay, so to round up my staff report, the packet was really large again this month. Based on additional testimony presented in February and submitted during the first 7-day period, staff has amended the findings as presented beginning on page 13. I would just briefly outline the conditions of approval. Again, this is for a substation. The concerns previously, there was a request for a hearing, and then at the February meeting, the entity that requested a hearing didn't show. So that's okay. We went ahead and proceeded with the hearing and then closed the record subject to the 777 period. Additional information about the purpose and siting, the purpose for the substation and the specific location, and a few other items were added into the findings that go through page 20. The conditions of approval include provide the planning department with an approved Morro County Road Department access permit prior to issuance of a zoning permit, submit a reclamation plan, coordinate with Morro County weed supervisor, and submit a weed management plan approved by the weed supervisor. Number 4 is obtain a zoning permit from the planning department prior to construction. The zoning permit site plan shall identify the project and properties the substation will serve. Number 5, if a new access road is constructed, the development standard shall be approved by Morro County Public Works Director. That would be on the subject property, not off the subject property. Number 6, comply with all the Ione Fire District recommendations. And then the zoning permit would be issued once we have documentation of compliance with conditions 1 through 6. And then the subsequent conditions that apply after the zoning permit is to comply with recommendations of the Water Master regarding water rights and water use, if any. So we don't have information in the record about the water rights. If there are none, that's okay. It really is to memorialize the fact to keep those records clean. And then the second is the applicant shall be responsible for restoring as nearly as possible to its former condition any agricultural land and associated improvements that are damaged or otherwise disturbed by the siting, maintenance, repair, or reconstruction of the substation. And with that, that concludes my staff report.
Thank you. Any questions of staff?
Yeah, is there a related application right now, an open application that ties into this?
We're expecting one. So we're expecting an application for a solar project that would use these substations and a transmission line.
They've taken that out of FSEC and now it's going to come to the county. Is that correct?
So did they mention what was life expectancy on this?
On a substation?
Yeah.
I've never known a substation to be removed, but sometimes they're updated. I didn't ask that specific question.
Okay, because if it's not tied to anything, I was just wondering, like, how long are we going to let it sit there tied to nothing?
That's a good question. I don't know that it would be... That's a really good question. I don't know that it would be constructed if it doesn't have a project to connect it to.
I mean, the way they've done it so far is it all kind of happens at the same time.
Except... I think that's right.
On the renewable projects, I mean, mm-hmm. more or less the transmission lines and projects and the substations kind of...
It's a significant investment to build a substation without, just to have it sit there as a stranded investment. And Commissioner Kilkenny is correct that and it's in the findings that it would be part of the infrastructure system, if you will, for the Wellsprings, a forthcoming large solar project.
Okay. I just wouldn't want something to sit out there.
It's really a good insight, yeah, for sure.
It is, I can't imagine that it wouldn't all happen at the same time.
The timing has changed a little bit in terms of which part of a renewable project is built first, and that's really being driven by the tax incentives. So...
Yeah.
I am not an expert, but I do know that some of those incentives will expire if they don't have turned some dirt by July 1, and then they have to complete project construction a couple years after that. So since this is a component, this may be part of that proof that they've turned some dirt, and I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, because you mentioned that there was a solar probably, but there was another solar project a couple weekends ago that pulled the application and that meeting that they had.
In Boardman.
Yeah.
And that was Wellsprings. They pulled it from
the county now. Before us.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So the Wellsprings project that this substation will serve.
Yeah, that's my concern. It was pulled out, the solar project was pulled out. So
that it could happen faster
was
the thought.
Okay.
To pull it out, to come to the county, they think is faster than going through FSEC. See if they're right.
I know. We'll see. Yeah, we think so, but yeah. That's right. It pulled out of the state permitting process because House Bill 4031 said for large projects that would otherwise go to the State Energy Facility Siting Council, the applicant landowners have the option of being permitted at the county level. Even for these really large projects, because typically we don't get to permit those, the state does. So that is the project. It will be coming to us. We're already having those informal pre-application discussions.
And that's why I asked if there was already an application.
Not officially, but pre-application.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. At this time, I would call for a motion to either deny a land use decision or approve land use decision.
Motion to approve land use decision based on the conditions posed by staff.
Okay, I have a first and a second. Any additional comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passed.
And so Ron, I wasn't here last month, but the reason was it wasn't attached to a project when they made the application, and that's why it came before us.
Well, that's what the... We had a letter in the record. This project wouldn't even come before the Planning Commission, except we had an adjoining property owner represented by a law firm say they had some concerns.
But at the time, yeah, it wasn't attached to a project.
That's right, and that was part of the concern. Dan is giving me a message. Can we pause? Yeah, the So the motion was to approve.
Along with the conditions.
As presented.
Yeah, and so the motion was to also adopt the findings?
Yes.
Okay.
Adopt the findings.
Okay, is that good, Dan?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. That does a trick, it ties everything together.
Thank you. It's keeping me online. Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Yes. Yeah, Tim Fox right now. All right. Agenda item number 2, continued land use decision LUDN 08925. Leif Van Arker, Emily Horn, applicant, property owner, Amazon Data Services, Inc. The request is to site at Jetting Center campus on the property zone Airport Light Industrial. The property is described as tax lot 136 on the assessor's map for North 24 East, located approximately 3.7 miles west of Boardman's urban growth boundary, southeast of Boardman Airport, and southwest of Tower Road I-84 interchange. Criteria for approval include the Morrow County Zoning Ordinance, Article 3, Section 3.076, Airport Light Industrial, Section 3.092, Airport Safety and Compatibility Overlay Zone, ASC, and Article 4, Jason. Supplementary Provisions. I will reopen the public hearing for LUD N08926. At the end of the February 24th hearing, the Planning Commission concluded public testimony and kept the record open to allow for additional evidence to be submitted per the 777 rule. The Commission unanimously approved the motion to continue the hearing till today, March 31st, for deliberation and discussion only. There will be no additional testimony today unless the Commission desires to reopen the record and allow for more testimony. At this time, I'll call for an extension so it can be documented.
So for the record, just Commissioner Hinthorn.
And I will call for the staff report, please.
Okay, thank you. I am very sorry, but you get to hear me again because Clint is sick. I'm even more sorry because he had one of his nice presentations all all set out. He thought he might try to swing in this evening, and we said, we don't want, yes, that's right, yes. You made a vote on the previous one by consensus, not roll call, right?
What?
On the previous application?
Yeah, they all approved.
Okay. Everybody who was here approved. It was unanimous, Elaine, if that's the question. Sorry, I'm trying to pay attention to two things. Okay. So now we are down to LUDN-089. I'd first like to ask the commission to adopt those additional items into the record. So on page
183,
thank you, of your packets is exhibit list. You've already adopted the items 1 through 8. You can do it again just for safekeeping, but add items 1 through 8 from the February 24th meeting. Exhibits 9 through 13 for the first 777 period. One exhibit number 14 for the second exhibit for the second 77 period. And then rounding it out with items 15, 16, and 17 for the third 777 period ending on March 17th.
Do I have a motion to accept the exhibit list for the four different sections?
Adopted. Thank you. Okay. There's a lot of information in the record, and several issues were raised. let's see. During the February meeting, that first 7-7-7-day period, there was an opportunity to present additional evidence and testimony. Staff has updated the findings to reflect those issues. They primarily focused on a couple of items. I'm going to pause 1 second and grab that because I read it this afternoon. So a couple of the items mentioned had to do with stormwater and cooling pond design, septic system, and other DEQ permitting requirements, and the pond netting. So additional information was submitted to show how the application complies with those DEQ regulatory requirements. There was also concern raised about the bird mitigation for the cooling pond, and Pacific Habitat Services, Inc. submitted a supplemental memorandum. Staff reached out again to our local Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, which is our local agency with expertise on the matter. They actually said that piece is not their expertise and deferred to the FAA's interpretation with that. I'm going to be very, very much summarize these things, and if you have questions, that's fine. So we did change the conditions of approval, and those would be on page. Let me see here. Okay. And the findings in your packet show the redactions or the changes that we made from the February hearing. So the findings begin on page 164. On page 166, there's a note about a condition for Oregon Department of Aviation and Federal Aviation, and there's evidence in the record to show that it complies with those standards, and also the recommendation that we include a condition of approval that says if FAA notice is required pursuant to the FAA notice tool criteria, which is a whole online program that the developers can use, that the applicant shall provide confirmation of the resulting aeronautical determination from the FAA prior to the final certificate of occupancy for such building. We talked internally about making that a precedent condition, given the pace of things at FAA and the evidence in the record that otherwise shows they would comply. That seemed sensible to us to make it prior to the C of O, the certificate of occupancy. There were some changes on page 167, 4 of 19. That requires a condition of approval to enter into a road improvement agreement requiring the applicant to reimburse the county for the county's construction of a right turn lane. That would be southbound on Tower Road onto Bristow Lane. And beginning on bottom part of page 169, page 6 of 19 of the findings, just added some clarification of language there. Also relevant to the FAA circular, and I'm certain Clint understands that better than I do. It's, I almost feel like I have to be an aeronautical engineer to understand how that actually works. So, let's see. Let's skip over now to the conditions of approval, and those are on. Those begin on page 181. So, again, the blue are changes from the draft findings that you saw in February based on testimony, comments, and evidence in the record. So, we've proposed to move condition C, the construction of a temporary right turn lane, to a subsequent condition. It would be condition E, again, the road improvement agreement. based on the calculations and the traffic impact analysis and in conversations with Public Works, I think there's probably a need for a turn lane today. But based on the traffic studies and the data, that they will enter a road improvement agreement, and it must be completed prior to the applicant it's prior to the final certificate of occupancy. I thought that one was supposed to say the second building. Okay, so it is, so the road use agreement is a precedent condition before we issue any of the zoning permits, which we issue for each building and each significant component. And the road improvement agreement would be a subsequent condition required after the zoning permit is issued. We also, as a subsequent condition, included the language that is in front of you that says the proposed water impoundments must incorporate the mitigation measures set forth in the PHS report dated January 20, 2026, including netting over the stormwater evaporation pond, liners on all pond surfaces and side slopes, non-vegetated buffers around the ponds, and 4-to-1 slopes on all sides. Compliance with this condition of approval will be evidenced by providing written confirmation by Pacific Habitat Services or another qualified wildlife biologist that the final design of the ponds is consistent with the proposed mitigation in the PHS report. Yeah, so again, I thought I had prepared myself better for this because I was asking myself questions as I was reading it. So the subsequent conditions that we just read, the two plus the A, B, C, D, and E, those are required prior to the certificate of occupancy for the first building. So the precedent conditions prior, really before they start anything, we issue the zoning permit, they can start work on that first building, but before they get the certificate of occupancy for that first building, they have to meet these other conditions. That gives the county guarantee and also a little bit of flexibility for timing. Rory is shaking his head that I think that's what they also want. Yeah. And three are the ongoing conditions. A would be that the facility shall at no point during construction or operation cause light or glare that project lighting directly onto the Boardman Airport runway or taxiway or imitates airport lighting. And B, any lawful, unlawful structures or vegetation identified by the applicant or outside agencies shall be brought into conformance with the current standards of zoning 3.092i. Sorry, that was clunkier than Clint would have done, but did my best to fill in. So that concludes my staff report.
Okay. Any questions of staff? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Call for a motion.
I was going to ask a question, actually.
You need to speed it up.
I was not clear. I asked a question last month when I wasn't here about the distance of the ponds from the runway, and it said 5,000 feet, but I thought that I read in the report that if there were turbines landing on their airplane, it was 10,000 feet.
If there were what?
Turbine engine aircraft, that it was 10,000 feet and not 5,000.
That I would not know, but I would bring your attention to two items. Exhibit number 10, which is a memo from Megan Lynn, addressed that issue, and that's 7 pages. That begins on page. I don't know that I can do justice to explain it, but it is, I think, well explained in Megan Lynn's March 3 memo.
I have a previous one.
It was from
in the packet where it said it's 5,000 feet unless it's a turbine engine craft, and it's 10,000.
Right. But the response that I'm referring to is in that packet in front of you. Okay. Yeah. And that is,
you know exactly what page, John. I have an old packet. I brought some extras.
No, but I'm referring to, okay, it was identified in that earlier one.
Okay.
But the response came in the first 7/7/7 day open period. And Megan Lynn did a fantastic job explaining that much better than I could. Dan, would it be okay if we asked if the applicant could explain that again? It's not new testimony. It's just they can do a much better job explaining it than I can.
Yeah, serving as kind of a guide for the exhibits and where things are stated.
Yeah. So
is Megan online?
I think she is, yeah. And specifically, hi. Commissioner Kilkenny has a question about the 5,000-foot setback for the evaporation pond.
Hi, Tamara, you're right. It's in the... sorry, my voice is a little odd. It's in the March 3rd response letter, and it starts on... sorry, I'm a little sick. It starts on page, I think... 3 of that. And so the way it works, I think, with these distance requirements is first there's a state statute. The state statute has these minimum requirements. And then it says, and that's the 5,000 feet. And then it says, okay, well, if a local county wants to regulate water impoundments outside of the 5,000 foot between, let's say, 5,000 and 10,000 feet, then it can make findings that this is required under their county code and extend that regulation out past the 5,000 feet. And so Moore County actually did exercise its local authority to do that, I believe, and said that not only are you regulating 5,000 feet off the end of the runway, you're also regulating 5,000 feet off the edge of the runway, which is exceeding kind of the state minimum. And that's what's in your code. Yeah. And then I think what you're referring to with this turbine powered aircraft is in the FAA advisory circular. It has a sort of, it has a number of different recommendations. And so it does have this recommendation of a separation distance of 10,000 feet for airport serving turbine powered aircraft.
Right. That's what I read. That had me confused.
Okay, yeah. So the FAA advisory circular has a number of different recommendations, and not all of them apply to every single airport. And so what it says is, like, you still have to defer to your local county code, but here are some additional things to consider if you're trying to mitigate for bird hazards near airports. So this 10,000 foot is not something that Morrow County has adopted, and so it's not applicable or in this instance. But it does appear in that as a recommendation in the advisory circular.
By the FAA.
By the FAA, but that advisory circular like expressly states that it is not a regulation, it is not mandatory, and it is not legally binding. And so you still need to kind of look at your local code and the state statute to see what the actual requirements are for this particular airport.
It sounds like they would never be able to land a turbine craft out there.
I would think they land there all the time.
If it's got to be 10,000.
Because it's a mile long.
If the ponds have to be 10,000 feet away, then that would be...
It would restrict the airport from that point forward.
I don't know. That's why it's like it's a question that I don't know the answer to. I assume that they do fly turbine aircraft into that airport. King Airs or...
The river, 10,000 feet away, isn't it? 2 miles.
What's that?
Isn't the river about 10,000 feet away?
Well, the runway is 1 mile, so it's 5,280, the entire runway.
But if they build this pond, and that's true, you would not be able to land a turbine plant out there anymore after this pond was constructed.
You're right. I don't know what the distance is to the river.
It's based on what we have, right?
Yeah. So, make a note. See what Dan's company has to
do.
I know.
Did she say the 10,000 feet is if it's in our code?
No, you have a 5,000 foot in your code.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I meant we would have to have. I'm sorry.
We could have that in our code.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any additional questions?
I had a question, or I guess a concern. I was looking, so the comprehensive So changing it from airport industrial, it's still going to be airport industrial zone.
Airport light industrial.
Airport light industrial. Mm-hmm. But to build a data center in that, it seems to change the nature of the zoning. I mean, if it's airport zoning, but then we're allowing a data center construction within the airport zoning, it seems inconsistent with goal two in our planning goal two, general land use, is inconsistent with the purposes of that particular zoning. I guess I'm just thinking that it seems a little out of what this land was forcing to be used for, to allow data center industrial use within this airport, so close to this airport, is a concern that I have.
What would be light industrial?
So it's airport light industrial.
Right. So what would you consider light industrial?
Oh, there's a whole list of uses that are not. So the airport industrial zone requires that the use be related to the airport. The airport light industrial zone was something the Planning Commission, I'm not sure who was all around at the time, maybe 8 years or so ago, changed it. So some of that AI is now ALI, which added flexibility to it. Arguably, a data center does not need to be co-located to an airport, and our code doesn't require it to be even airport dependent.
Right. It just seems like this has nothing to do with an airport, so why put it so close to an airport? If this land is supposed to be for airport use, and would it restrict expansion of that airport, use of that airport for other activities, like what if the turbine thing is an issue? What if somebody wants to fly drones? What if it becomes a hub for drone usage? It seems like we might be jumping the gun on it and changing the purpose of this location for another purpose. It's going to become a data center campus rather than an airport. It's walking away from the...
So when you're visualizing light industry, airport light industry, you're not thinking of a data center.
This seems so huge and massive of a structure that it's going beyond.
So I hear what you're saying. The time, with all due respect, to have that discussion was when the county, however many years ago, changed it from airport industrial to airport light industrial. So that property was purchased based on that bundle of vested rights that's in an airport light industrial zone, which again is a lot different than the airport industrial zone. And for whatever reasons, the county changed that. I'm thinking it's like 8 years ago. Stephen might remember, I don't know.
Right. I mean.
And so what we're doing today is making sure that the standards that are in place for a data center, that this development checks all of those boxes.
Sure.
So it's not a, I don't know that any of us were on it. Were you here in 2016? I wasn't. So what's the difference? How do you visualize the difference between industrial and light industrial then? When they made that change, what do you think that means, or what?
I think it was intentional. I think the airport owner or sponsor, if you will, is the Port of Morrow, and I think they requested that the county change the code to allow data centers out there.
Which to me kind of seems like someone doesn't want it to be an airport anymore. They want it to be a data center campus. And it's not going to be an airport anymore if we go down this road. It's going to be a data center campus. And Borman's going to lose its airport, is my concern. Which, to me, butts up against that goal number two, that general land use goal.
Again, I think your observation is valid. But the time, again, to have that discussion was when that zoning was changed.
And it may be totally within the code. I'm just questioning the wisdom mm-hmm. of putting an airport, I'm putting a data center with a huge pond right next to an airport. Seems.
I struggle some with the netting and the practicality of that. Somebody says it's going to work, but that's. to me is a, I'd rather have, if I was flying an airplane in there, wouldn't you rather have the birds on the water than hit the net and like, oh, let me come back up? I wonder about the netting theory.
And it's fine if you want to build a data center. I'm not against the data center. Yeah. It just seems, why build it in a next to an airport?
Because they can.
Well, I understand that, but I guess as if we're looking out for